Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Welcome to episode 264. We'll talk to Caitlin Smith coming up, who I love as an artist and a songwriter. We'll also do some classic country songs that never went number one. And we'll talk about new music. I'm going to bring Eddie in. I've been a little under the weather this week, so I don't know if this one will be the longest one, but sometimes when I need support, I bring Eddie in. Although, I think you've been on like the last 73 episodes.
I love it, dude.
Well, we tape a lot of these now at the radio show.
And I'm already here.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, come on in and talk.
And I love music, and I love talking to you, so makes sense.
What do you love more, though?
Nah, equally, dude. Okay. Equally.
The big releases this week, these are the things I'm most interested in. Devin Dawson at number 5 has a new song called Range Rover.
I'm looking for a girl. I drive a pickup and she does not mind. Riding in it with the windows down. Cranking Keith Whitley loud. Next to me, I'm looking for a girl who sees past blown speakers in a broke AC. In a Benzita with a quarter million miles on the motor. And she was looking for that Range Rover.
That's number 5. Number 4, Eric Church has a new song out. Here is Hell of a View.
This ain't for everybody. Toes hanging off the ledge. Like we got nothing to lose. Ain't always heaven, baby. This living on the edge. You holding me, holding you. It's a hell of a view.
At number 3, Ingrid Andress released a deluxe version of her album Ladylike, which came out in March, but now it's 3 unreleased songs plus an updated version of More Hearts Than Mine with Kimberly Schlattman from Little Big Town. Here's a clip of that.
If I bring you home to mama, I guess I better warn you. She falls in love a little faster than I do.
Speaking of deluxe versions, John Party released a deluxe version of his album, Heartache Medication. It includes 3 new songs. Here's one called Bar Downtown.
Are you somewhere?
You know, what's interesting is it's been a weird time for artists. They can't tour. Anything they put out that was new in quarantine didn't really get heard. I mean, it did a little bit.
Yeah, not on radio, though.
But not as much. Just things haven't been normal. So now this is kind of their shot to re-release that again with new stuff for those who have already heard it, but to get it brought up again.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, realistically, you know, if music's not fed to us, we're not really searching it that much.
Yeah, and I'm a music searcher, and I don't even search that much.
Right.
Maren Morris has a new song at number 1. It's called Better Than We Found It.
When time turns this moment to dust, I just hope that I'm proud of the woman I was. When lines of tomorrow are drawn, can I live with the side that I chose to be on? Will we sit on our hands, do nothing about it? Oh,
cool. New music that didn't make my list, but honorable mention, Amanda Shires and Jason Isbell dropped a new track called The Problem.
Was everything's gonna be okay? It's gonna be alright.
And Dolly released a Christmas album called A Holly Dolly Christmas. This is her first Christmas album in 30 years. Here is a new song called Christmas on the Square.
Christmas on the Square. Everybody's there. Laughing, singing, bells.
Are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this isn't an ad or anything, but really, Dollywood during Christmas is amazing. She goes all out. I mean, it's definitely, it's in the Smokies, and it feels like just, we went early December, and it was like, this feels just like Christmas. It's beautiful.
Other new stuff, Cody Johnson has a new song with Reba called Dear Rodeo. Brothers Osborne have a new song from their record that's coming out next week called Dead Man's Curve. Shania Twain, The Woman in Me, Diamond Deluxe album. Brantley Fyre has a deluxe album. 20 Years of Rascal Flatts. They put out a Greatest Hits. The Greatest Hits is weird now because most music is streamed.
Uh-huh. We have access to it already.
Get it already.
But I will mention, I do love going to a streaming service and finding an album that I like, because usually that's how you listen to it. It's hard to kind of just click artist, play me all their music. Then you get stuck with all those songs that you don't even know that they made. But I do like an album that has all the hits like that.
Yeah.
Almost like a playlist. So there is that side to it.
I wonder if they had to fulfill a record label obligation. That's mostly why people do greatest hits now.
Correct. Like, you owe us 5 records, you've done 4, you owe us another one. We really don't want to do another one.
Well, and in the contract, at times you can be like, okay, we'll 5 records, but one of them can be a greatest hits if we have this many hits.
Yeah.
So Rascal Flatts did that. Brent Cobb's got an album. Bon Jovi's got an album. Melanie C, who, Sporty Spice, that's what it's called too, huh? Yeah.
She was... Melanie was sporty?
No. Is it called Melanie C? Yeah. Mel C was sporty. Mel B was scary.
Got me.
Mm-hmm. Mariah Carey has a 15-track collection of unreleased songs, which sounds like just a bunch of songs she never wanted to use.
They're just sitting there.
That's pretty much it. Are you into any of the K-pop stuff?
No, not really. I mean, if it's on, I like it, but no.
The album, the Korean girl group Blackpink, which they're massive, but... They have that out. All right, there you go. There's new music. I'm going to hop over. We're going to let you hear from Caitlin Smith, and then Eddie and I are going to come back and talk about music news, and I think we'll do the 12 classic country songs that never, ever hit number one from countrymusicnation.com. All right. Hey, Caitlin, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's really good to talk to you. What have you been up to?
Let's see. I was just, filming another virtual live thing, just living my best Zoom life, playing with my kids. I can't complain.
It's interesting you bring up all the virtual things that everyone has to do now, because I was thinking about when you put your record out, which was March 13th, so it's been back a bit, but that was right when Corona started, so you never really got the full album release because everybody else was focused on all these different places. So as you've kind of re-released this record, to a lot of folks, it could be like the first time they've had a chance to even be exposed to the record.
Yeah, exactly. We've been doing our best to kind of get the music out there to people, but, everyone's attention really is like kind of everywhere else right now, which is fine, but, I'm a believer in we'll find the music at just the right time. And so, so we released it in March, but now we've decided try and kind of re-release it with this deluxe version that came out last Friday, and put a couple new things on there. So yeah.
I'm gonna play a clip of I Can't with Old Dominion. Here's a clip of that.
All the time and the whiskey I'm wasting.
So you had that song on the record. How long after that did you hit up Old Dominion and say, hey, why don't we do this as a collaboration this time?
Yeah, I mean, it was months and months later that we hit them up to do a collaboration. And they so graciously agreed to join me. And it's awesome because, I've known those guys for a while. Brad Tursey, one of the guitar players in the band, like him and I go way back to like touring with Willie Nelson like 10 years ago, and so I've been a fan of Brad for a long time. So it's so fun how this this came full circle, and now here we are collabing in 2020. So it was not intended as a duet, but I think it's better as a duet.
What do you mean touring with Willie Nelson? Tell me more about that. What'd you do?
Yeah, so it was the Willie Nelson Country Throwdown Tour, I think probably back in, 2012, something like that. And we opened the shows. He had a group of songwriters come out, and we would kind of do around before Willie would play. And it was kind of a traveling festival. There were actually 17 different acts on the whole tour, and and we played and all over the states. But from what I remember of the Willie Nelson tour, it was very, very fun.
So. Here is, this is one of the new tracks on it. You did a cover of Fix You from Coldplay, and I want to play this right here. Probably my favorite Coldplay song, and I like Coldplay a lot, and I think you did such a great version of that song. How many times did you listen to that song as you were listening to it to actually cover it, not just listening to it as a fan? And when as you're listening to it to cover it, you're probably listening to it sonically a little different than you would the other way.
Yeah, I mean, I started listening to that. Well, I listened to it probably a billion times when it first came out, and I saw Coldplay live back in 2005, and it still goes down in the books is one of my favorite live shows I've ever seen ever. But you know, I've been a fan of them for a while. And when COVID hit and we all kind of started lockdown, I found myself going back to music that kind of made me remind me of like simpler times in my life, kind of just more nostalgic. And so I picked up the Coldplay record and I played it nonstop. And then when I got the opportunity to do a cover for this deluxe record, I was like, well, I've been listening to Coldplay nonstop, and this is one of my, the best songs ever written, so why don't I think about it?
In that, who was singing harmony with you, your producer?
Yeah, Leggy Landon, my producer, is singing backgrounds on that, and he's actually from Leeds, so you can kind of, get a little Brit accent in there in the background, and you sense that, so it was just magical. The production that he did and adding his voice to really made it super special.
Would you play that song live?
Yes, why not? I think it's like, for me, when I experience that song, like it's almost like a spiritual experience. The song, like the way it moves, like the way it really, really rustles up your emotions. I think it would be an incredible song to play live. So I definitely want to put it in the set.
Do you play piano?
Yeah, I do.
I think you should come up on the radio show and play that.
I would love to.
I mean, we can kind of get that arrangement after we finish talking here, but I think you should come up in the next week or so, be in studio, play this, we'll spin I Can't with Old Dominion, and just make a whole deal about it. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, nice. All right, so Mike, don't forget that. When we're done here, we got to line this up over here. Hey, so here's a question. You started writing Supernova between the births of your kids, Thomas and Lewis. I'm assuming that writing in a very transitional period was either extremely creative or not at all. Like, which one was it?
Yeah. So, I wrote most of the songs on this record, Supernova, while I was pregnant. And I kind of joke that these songs kind of have like an extra vein of emotion because I think it was probably just the pregnancy hormones like leaking out all of my feelings. And so for me, it was a really creative time. I have this songwriter mentor of mine that he kind of took me under his wing. His name's Don Schlitz. When I moved to town, he's a Hall of Fame songwriter, wrote like The Gambler and Forever and Ever Amen and When You Say Nothing at All, just some little songs like that. But one thing that Don told me that always sticks with me when I'm in the creative process is if you can't think of anything to write about, then you're not paying attention, which I love. Like, there's no such thing as writer's block. Like, you just look around you, open your eyes, and kind of dig into what the heck's going on right there in front of your face? And so for me, this record is just digging into, becoming a new mom and seeing life move so fast, going through a lot of change of, like, what I call personal excavation, where I was just kind of digging into my heart and my person and trying to become a better version of that. And I tell a couple stories on this album of some friends of mine around me, you know, and so... So I did my very best in this time to just pay attention to the stories and the experiences around me, and that's what you get with Supernova.
Your youngest is 22 months. Do you refer to him as a 22-month-old, or do you say he's about to be 2 years old?
I say he's about to be two.
Nice. See, that's why we get along.
At that point.
Yeah. So are you going to do an album release for Supernova, the second version of it? Like, what happens now? Because we're still in Corona, but it's not like it was when it came out at first.
Great question. I think we're all still trying to figure out, you know, how to get the music out there. And so, you know, we're trying to think of some creative ideas to get some, like, live stuff. It's still up in the air. It's still a little question mark, but we'll see.
Okay, here's a song that could be, here's a question that could be a little too inside. But it's you and Old Dominion on this song, and it's not you and Matt Ramsey, the lead singer of Old Dominion. So my question is, did, even if it was just Matt, he's like, hey, I'm going to do it, but I have to do it as Old Dominion, or did he do it and everybody else do something like, you know, play a tambourine in the background? Like, what was that situation?
Yeah, and so we asked Old Dominion. I didn't, you know, I wanted Matt's voice on it, but I didn't actually know, like, how much of the band we were going to get, like, who actually wanted to play. And so I guess when Matt brought the idea to the guys, like, hey, Caitlin Smith wants us to hop on this track. From my understanding, everyone's like, well, I want to play on it. Can I play on it too? And so everybody in the band is in the track, which is really, really awesome. So they booked the studio day with Shane McAnally, and Shane kind of helped produce their end of adding their magic into it. So, you know, I thought maybe I'll just get Matt on it. I don't know. Brad will play guitar. Like, I didn't know how many people, how many of the band members wanted to play, but they all hopped in.
That's so pretty cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to play a little bit of Long Time Coming. Again, this is from Supernova. Here is Long Time Coming. So with this song, with a lot of the other songs that you put on your record, because you are known as a songwriter, and I would guess that most of the time you're writing songs for other people. So my question would be, how do you decide what you're going to keep? Is it based on when you write the song or how the song resonates with you?
Yeah, I mean, usually if I have another artist on my calendar that day, I'm trying to dig out from them what they want to write about. But I kind of keep a running list of ideas and titles in the back of my mind. And so, you know, when I'm set up with just some of my songwriter friends, I usually pull those ideas out and say, well, what about this? Like, and it's usually just more specific to my story. And so, yeah, I've kind of learned to, like, split up my week between writing for other people. And then maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, I'll kind of pull out an idea for myself. So I can't sit around and write my story every single day. To me, that's exhausting. It's way easier to dig around in someone else's head for a while. But usually I keep my ideas in my back of my pocket.
Of the artists that you write with, who would we be surprised in a complimentary way at how good of a writer they are?
Oh, wow. You know, I've never gotten a cut on one of her records, but one of the artists that surprised me the most in the writing room was Carrie Underwood. That girl comes with fantastic ideas. She has an excellent sense in melody. She knows what she wants to say. And, you know, sometimes artists just get this rap in Nashville of, like, oh, they don't really write, but they just want to sit in the room. This girl actually works. She knows what she's doing, and absolutely, no pun intended, blows me away.
Are there artists that you get in a room with? Because you can sing. Like, you're one of the best singers around.
but you get in a room with, and I'm sure Carrie's one of them, but if we take Carrie off of this, who have you written with and they're singing in the room, either like recording a, you know, just like a scratch or a voice memo, and you're like, holy crap, you are so good. Who would surprise us?
Man, there's a lot of people that happens to. My mind goes to Meghan Trainor, man. When she opens her mouth, it just sounds like a record, and she'll like lay down like a scratch vocal, like or some harmonies, and I'll be like, wow, can we just put this out right now? Like, that girl is absolutely incredible. So.
Okay, you guys check out Supernova. It's a deluxe version now. If there's one song on here that, if someone said, all right, Caitlin, I get to do an elevator pitch, I get one song that I have to hear, which song do you send them to?
Oh, that's too hard. They're
yeah, but
fun,
it's a,
babies.
Come on, Caitlin, you only have a minute with somebody, and they're like, okay, I got time for one song. What do you tell them to listen
okay,
to?
Okay, one song. If I've got one song, I'm gonna go for the emotions. I'm going to play a Supernova.
Okay, here it is. We're going to play this now, and let's see if everybody cries. Go ahead.
Tiger shooting star, a supernova. By so fast.
Well, you know that I am a fan, so much so that I want you to come up on the show and play live, and we'll get all that worked out. But I hope everybody that's listening to this is going to check out Supernova Deluxe. Maybe you never checked it out before Deluxe because you were worried about getting a virus that was going to kill us all. And if you live this long and this far, you should check out Supernova Deluxe. It is fantastic. She is fantastic. I'm just a big, 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 big fan. So I will see you relatively soon. And thank you very much for coming on and talking with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bobby. You're the very best. We'll see you soon, my dear.
All right. There she is, Caitlin Smith. Bye, Caitlin.
Bye. Thanks, Bobby. Take care.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
You can follow her on Instagram, too. Caitlin Smith with a Y, right?
Yep.
Caitlyn Smith. Check her out. I'm just such a big fan of her. She came into the studio. Well, she opened a couple of shows for me whenever the Raging Idiots were playing a couple tours ago. And I was such a fan of her. And she came out, and one of the shows was Oklahoma City. I think she just had a baby. Her husband was there. The air conditioner had went out in this place we were playing. There were like 2,800 people there. No AC in the summertime. And she went out and just dominated it, man. It was awesome. And she's awesome. So
I believe she was the first ever guest on this podcast.
Oh, you may be right.
I think she was the first one.
Episode one, maybe?
Yeah.
In the condo?
Yeah.
In that little side bedroom?
In the little side bedroom where we created this whole thing.
It's funny to think back to that because when I think about the early, early version of this, I remember Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known she was one, but I knew she was one of the first ones because I am legitimately a massive fan. But Caitlin Smith, Ryan Hurd,
mm-hmm.
who I'm friends with now. I mean, Ryan lives right down the road and brings his dog over here, you know, Pancake. And just, because Pancake and Stanley, my dog, are half brothers. So, like, then I was just a big fan of Ryan's songwriting. He wasn't really even an artist yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was an artist, but he wasn't like a signed artist putting out music. I remember the really good episode we did with Chip Esten.
Yeah.
Have we ever put that up at the top?
No.
We should do that midweek.
Okay.
You can go check it out if you want now, but a lot of people aren't going to go backward. But just a fantastic interview about The Office, about Nashville. That was good.
Whose Line, yeah.
That's what I think about with the early episodes, those three people. Who to you?
Mine was Charles Esten. I remember him coming over that day. And then, yeah, Ryan Hurd too. I remember it was like he just showed up and was like, hey, we're doing this thing in your side room. And he was hanging out.
Who, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we moved over because that place flooded, that condo flooded,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, you got to move because we got to basically gut this building. So I bought another house, and we put it up in a side bedroom upstairs,
yeah.
And I always felt weird walking people upstairs to the room because I could have murdered them. And I would say I was pretty known at the time, but I wasn't known to a lot of these folks now as a peer.
Yeah.
So it was, people thought it was a little weird.
Coming to the house and then yeah. walking in.
And I was like, we're doing the show at my house.
And like, okay.
And so they would come in, they would go upstairs. Who do you think about in that section of it?
Chris Stapleton.
Oh, yeah. When Chris sat there and
yeah.
He came up and just sat and talked for an hour.
My favorite one, yeah.
That's a good one. For me, and like level two of this, I remember having a good talk with Dan from Dan and Shay.
That was a good one.
And then we moved to the other house. We were at before this one because my dog died, and I'd only had that house as a backyard for him until because he was older. And that one is kind of where the podcast started to really gain and get traction and like have millions of people listening. Who in that level three do you remember thinking about?
When we finally got Luke Combs there, that was a good one.
Yeah, the Luke Combs was good because it kept getting delayed.
Yeah.
And then now we have a studio in the house. We've only had one guest in so far.
Yeah.
Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts. That's only because Gary's a friend and was over here like 2 days before. And I was like, hey, you don't have Corona. We're already together. Why don't you come over and do the podcast? And it was like, okay, great. Anyway, you guys check it out. Caitlin Smith, great record, great artist. And there you go. Thank you.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. As we look at music news, Mac Davis, country singer for writing songs, for example, Elvis Presley's In the Ghetto. He died at 78. Starts to roam the streets at night and he learns how to Obviously, that's Elvis. Here's Hard to Be Humble from Mac Davis.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
We sing this at the end of Arkansas Razorback football games. Crazy.
You like this song?
I do, because we only sing it after we win.
Yeah.
So lately, we haven't been able to sing it a lot.
Oh, so if you guys lose, they don't play it. Got it.
Not play it. everybody goes down on the field and the cheerleaders sing it back up to the crowd and people stay. Yeah.
Ah, dang. The only game I've ever been to was that Alabama game and that didn't
happen. We did not win. That song did not get sang at that game, for sure. So people love Mac Davis. Jake Owen wasn't on the radio show talking about his relationship with Mac. So he died at 78 years old. If I'm right, he went in for heart surgery and...
No.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't... That happened to my grandma. Exact same thing. Went in for a kind of like almost a regular surgery that they thought was not going to be a big deal, and then she just didn't come out of it.
Really?
Wow, gosh, that's rough.
We're talking about Mariah Carey earlier. She says she recorded an alternative album in the 90s. Like an not a secondary album.
Oh, like the genre alternative.
Like an alternative album.
Really?
Back when she was working on Daydream, which was a great record. She even shared a song clip. Hey, listen, not bad.
It definitely
sounds
like...
You're going to tell me that's not like Hole?
No. It does sound... It sounds like Hole. Definitely has the 90s alternative sound.
She probably could have been an alternative singer. She could sing anything.
Yeah.
Now, she wrote on Twitter, fun fact, I did an alternative album while I was making Daydream. Here's a little bit of what I wrote. And then she posted it up there. What's the Guinness World Record for the most tattoos of the same musician? The Guinness World Record for the most tattoos of the same musician.
So what does that mean exactly?
You love Eddie Vedder.
Correct.
If you had 9 Eddie Vedders tattooed on you.
Oh, I would hold the world record.
You wouldn't. If you had 16, you would tie it because that's what Nikki Patterson has of Eminem.
Really?
There's a Guinness World Record for the most tattoos of the same musician. Nikki Patterson, 35 years old. She earned the record with 15 back in March, but she had another one since. She was 19 when she got her first one. She has 52 tats overall. 28 of them are based on Eminem, including 16 portraits. But this is that song.
Stan.
She wrote in the letter.
Oh, no. Is it Stan? Yeah.
You know, when people say they stan someone, it's based on this song.
Correct.
And a lot of kids don't know that because they weren't kids when this song came out.
But they're still using that phrase.
Yeah. Like, they don't know the root of it.
Right.
I think Devin Sawa, was he in the music video?
Yeah.
And I saw someone go... He tweeted something about standing someone. Like, you don't even know what stand means. He goes, I was standing the freaking music video.
That's awesome. He's like, I know what stand means.
He's like, shut your face. I follow a... Can you hear me? Or I pull my headphones
on? Yeah, you got... Hold on. I got you.
Okay, check. I follow on Reddit a thread, Do You Know Who I Am? Where someone will write something, and then someone will put a snarky comment up. Like COVID, for example. You know, people should be wearing masks, blah, blah. And they'll be like, what do you know about masks? You don't know anything. You're the... Bro. And then they reply back, I'm the head of Vanderbilt Medical Center's mask department. So it's all people. And I saw that Devin Sawa thing in that.
That's funny.
Where they were like, you know what you're talking about? He's like, no, I was staying.
Yeah. That's cool.
The guy that Mike D likes, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
He overdosed on diet pills and McDonald's coffee.
Yeah.
What happened there?
He was taking hydroxycut, I guess, when he got out of prison. And I guess the combo of how many he was taking to lose weight messed him up. So he's in the hospital right now. But he's all right.
And he's out of jail.
He's out of jail.
For good because of corona? Or did he... Do like good stuff in jail?
No, that's basically the reason he got out.
And do you have to go back once corona is fixed?
No, he's out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a weird clause.
I mean, I'd have been so thankful for corona.
For sure. You'd try to get it just to get out.
I'd want everybody to get it.
No. Sure. Yeah, that's my ticket
I'd
out.
I want to not get it, but I want everybody around me to get it. BTS, we were talking about K-pop earlier, has made $8 million each in the stock market.
Each of the band members?
Yeah, so what happened was the CEO of this record label gave each of the 7 members like 68,000 shares last month, and then it went public. So
that's legit.
Boom. Because he has them on his record label.
Wow, that's cool.
And so they all got $8 million richer last week.
Good for them. And how old are they? You know, are they
teens and young 20s?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know much about them. I hear some of their clips. I struggle with music that's not English, but they're massive.
And
if you tweet something about them, the entire country of South Korea retweets you.
Yeah.
So then
I did that like last week.
Did they get a lot of retweets?
Yeah, I got a lot.
So it doesn't matter what you're tweeting, just
as
tag
long
them.
As you hashtag them and it's good. Yeah. Bonnaroo Music Festival moves to September 2021. Darius Rucker is dating comedian Kate Quigley, which I saw on her Instagram. I don't know who she is, but the story was, hey, did you see this girl's Instagram? I guess her and Darius are dating. So there you go. Good for him. Do you know who she is, Mike?
I don't. I just saw that post.
Do you know who she is, Eddie?
Never heard of her.
Keith Urban lands his 7th top country album. It's number 1. And then finally, in addition to all the other health issues we've heard about this year, Queen's guitarist Brian May, who, by the way, had a torn butt muscle, almost died of a stomach explosion.
It's two separate incidents?
Yeah.
It's rough.
Oof.
How you tear a butt muscle?
I'm thinking about the stomach explosion.
Oh.
He was gardening.
Is he just worn out from all the hard days of being a rock star?
I would think
stuff inside your body just start exploding.
I would think, but didn't we meet them or I saw them at iHeart Festival a few years ago, and he seems pretty healthy. He has white big white hair, so he looks old, but I think he looks pretty healthy for the most part.
73.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
But I didn't see his butt or anything. Didn't know.
Well, the big story that we were going to do this week is 12 classic country songs that never hit number one. Saw the story on countrymusicnation.com, and it's just weird. I'm always intrigued by songs from artists that we know and love that never hit number one. You know, Tim McGraw is coming in next week on the radio show, and Indian Outlaw was not a number one.
Yeah.
And it's the first song I remember from Tim McGraw. And change me.
Bones, how does a song become number one?
So back in the day, and there are a couple different charts, but back in the day it was you'd go out and buy records, tapes, CDs. They would monitor, beep, how many you had, or they'd report them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would do like records then. Now it's like the radio, all the radio stations that are a certain size are monitored by a computer. And when you play a song, the computer recognizes it and adds it. So then they accumulate all the spins and they go, this is the number one song this week. And the bigger your city is, the more power you have every time you play a song. For example, we're not a city, but our morning show's on in 100 and something places. When we spin a song one time, that's like a ton of radio stations spin it.
Got it.
So there's a lot of power to it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the same thing, but now charts are a little different because they have to account for streaming.
Yeah.
They have to account for sales of downloads. They got to account for a few people buying CDs.
Yeah, not just sales, radio, stream. Got it.
But we're talking about songs from the way back too.
Okay.
So all of that kind of went in, but here's a song. It only peaked at number 22, Angels Among Us from Alabama.
Mm.
Believe there are angels among us.
Jam.
Well, why was this big? Was this part of a movie or something?
It was a Christmas song. It came out around Christmas.
There we go. That's it.
But I don't know. I think this is just one of Alabama's really good songs.
Wow, yeah. Because I know it. I just don't. Because that's weird. I thought it was part of a movie or something.
It may be in some movie. I don't know. Gentle on My Mind from Glen Campbell.
Oh, dude, such a good song.
1967. Mm-hmm. Peaked at number 30. Great. Coat of Many Colors from Dolly Parton. Peaked at number 4.
Huge.
George Strait, 2008, Troubadour. Jam. And he has 61 number ones. This was not one of them. It hit number 7. That's it. Crazy. I'd bet money that I'd been a number one.
Yeah, me too.
Conway Twitty, That's My Job, peaked at number 6.
That's so good.
Loretta Lynn, 1966, You Ain't Woman Enough, peaked at number 2. Number 2 ones would drive me crazy.
I know, you're so close.
It's like,
just give it
like,
to him.
Yeah, like, what's up? It's and the charts are so corrupt right now on radio, where their record labels are making deals with stations, play it and stop playing it. It's like, why couldn't you make the deal, continue the deal out?
Yeah.
Vince Gill, 1990, it peaked at number 2. When I Call Your Name.
Nobody answers when I call your name.
Wow, dude, I remember that.
Whiskey River by Willie.
Not number 1.
14, 1972.
Take my mind.
Fancy by Reba, maybe her biggest song.
Yeah.
As far as the song that most people know.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what would beat that one from her?
The Night That the Lights Went Out in Georgia, maybe?
It peaked at number 26.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely insane. 1990, wow. Ramblin' Fever by Merle Haggard peaked at number 2. Crazy by Patsy Cline. Peaked at number 2.
I mean, that's huge. That's her song.
And the whole reason this subject came up was we were talking about George Strait on the radio show, and I'd mentioned Amarillo by Morning because we were talking about his favorite best number ones. And I was like, how could they, this whatever, another article, not put Amarillo by Morning in it? We couldn't believe it. I got a text. It was like, hey, you know why that wasn't a number one? And I was like, are you out of your mind? He goes, yeah. It peaked at number four in 1982.
Wow.
This was not a number one for George Strait.
I remember when he was in the studio and you asked him, you know, George, like, which is the biggest song that when you play live gets the biggest response? And he goes, I'd have to say Amarillo.
Despite being his most famous song, it's not one of his record number one singles. It peaked at number four on the country charts. Check out Eddie's podcast, by the way.
Sore Losers.
Yeah.
Me, Lunchbox, Ray. Just a bunch of guys talking about sports and life. Me and Lunchbox are dads. Ray's about to get married. So a lot of guy talk from the guy's perspective. But sports, it's a big thing right now.
I've been listening to a podcast. Sports is a big thing right now. Sports is never not a big thing.
I know. I had nothing to say right there.
Sometimes I do that too.
What were you saying?
I'm listening to a podcast right now. It's not, I don't know anyone who does it. I mean, I'm not friends with these people.
Okay.
But it's called, let me find it because I don't want to mess it up. It's about how the NBA is rigged, the refs.
I mean, if this is factual, they have definitely had theories about this.
Mobsters on it who've talked about, we've hired a bunch of refs. They have Tim Donaghy who was busted for fixing games.
Sure.
So it's called, I think it's called like Blowing Whistle. Hold on.
I don't know. Here we go.
It's called Whistleblower. The NBA Referee Edition, 2003-2007.
I love stuff
like
that.
It just came out this year. So it's still new. I'm on episode 3 right now, and it came out September 10th, 2020. So if you're sports, that's a cool one. You know, Kaylee Shore has a podcast too, which is pretty wide open. She just says what she feels.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an artist in her 20s, not always just about music, but man, I would encourage you to check that out, called Too Much to Say with Kaylee Shore. So... are you listening to any podcasts right now?
There's one that I'm wanting to, and I think I'll start it pretty soon. It's about some Laredo murders that went down, missing people in like the border town Laredo, kind of my area where I grew up. I'd say within an hour.
Do you like the murder, real crime, true crime?
Yeah,
stuff?
Because the last one I really listened to was Dirty John, and I love that stuff.
So you like a couple of? You're not always finding a new one.
No.
Some of my friends, just they try to find constant new real crime stuff, true crime.
Yeah, no. Basically, I listen to our podcast, kind of just see what it sounds like. And
you
then
listen to your own podcast?
I do, sometimes. And then there, an ad comes up, and I'm like, I stop listening to my own podcast to listen to those.
You change it.
Yeah.
Dang it, ad. Mike, what's up with you?
I got Mike's Movie Podcast.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
I'm about to do an episode where I talk about movies that are overrated.
Oh, that's an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Overrated movies. What would I put on there? I think you can still like an overrated movie. I think an overrated movie can be good, especially if the rating is great. And I would put Big Lebowski on that.
Oh, get out of here.
I like it. Thought it was good. Thought it was real good. But people act like that's one of the greats. Now, everybody's tastes a little different. Maybe I watched it when I was in a bad mood. Dude. But I like Big Lebowski. I feel like it's a little overrated.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have?
Avatar.
Yeah,
I mean, and no one's going to argue with me on that.
Well, it just made the most money of any movie ever.
Sure.
Until Avengers.
And even if you're just on TV, it's on a lot.
Avatar's on?
Yeah.
I went and watched that with 3D movie crap, those glasses.
I'm glad I didn't get away with that.
They don't do that anymore, right?
No, they don't.
That's terrible.
It's horrible.
What's your most overrated movie, Mike?
Well, one that I loved last year that I think you guys had different opinions on was Uncut Gems. Everybody says that movie. Terrible.
I didn't finish it.
I loved it.
I love Adam Sandler. I love sports betting. I think I'm about to work out a deal with a big sports betting place anyway. Cause I just love sports betting. I love the science of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is everything I like. There's athletes in it. There's Adam Sandler. There's sports betting. And then I watched it and I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah. I started watching it and he was just digging himself in such a bad hole that it stressed me out. And I'm like, I can't take this fictional stress.
Is that yours or what most people are saying?
That's what most people are saying.
What's yours?
I don't like the Titanic.
Oh, it's so good. It doesn't matter when it's on, I'll watch it.
It doesn't mean it's not good. I think some people go, what do you mean that's overrated? That's a good movie. It just means it doesn't reach the status that everyone said it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's right. Tough.
And Titanic does.
Does it?
Yeah.
I did at the time because it was a big pop culture phenomenon. And it was the winner in movie money.
It did.
Until Avatar beat it in both those movies.
James Cameron movies?
James Cameron movies.
Dang, he's
then Avengers
out.
Beat it. He didn't do Avengers. But they're about to do Avatar 2 and 3, right?
2 and 3.
2 is done. 3 is almost done.
3 is like 95% done.
You know what I saw the other day that I had never seen? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Funny.
So good.
One of the best superhero movies because it's a little different. It's a little funny.
Yeah. Like, I LOL'd, and I'm like, I didn't think I was going to be laughing during this movie. Yeah,
Rocket the Raccoon.
Yeah, Bradley all of Cooper. Them. And I Am Groot.
I Am Groot.
I loved it.
I Am Groot.
I Am Groot.
Check out Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. Again, afraid I'm going to lose my voice pretty soon, so this will be a short episode this week. But we're going to load up a Greatest Hits episode, too, tomorrow the next day, right?
Next week.
Is it next week?
In the week, yeah. The Charles Esten one?
Then we who do we talk about? Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, this but coming up between this episode and the next new one.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you guys. Have a great day. Go find some music you like. We'll talk to you soon. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.